put it very clearly on my heart with the text that we're going to speak from this morning. And he showed me this morning, I had this little picture as I was praying and seeking him. And it was this picture of a person. And as the person was opening up themselves in authenticity towards God, it was like the doors of heaven were already open, but what was keeping heaven from invading earth was the doors of people's lives. It was like the stewardship of heaven had already been opened wide. Like Jesus rent the veil, never to be closed again. The heavens are open. Like nothing preventing on that end of things God's involvement with planet Earth or its people. That the heavens have been rent, it's wide open because of the blood of Jesus, because of his resurrection. There is a door open, it's wide open. Can anyone say amen to that? But that on the receiving end, on people's end of things, that we were standing in a gate. And then I watched as the Lord, as people opened themselves up and heaven would come through a person's life and would then bring change. I saw this picture, and it's actually what I shared last night, but I saw it so vividly this morning, and there were some folks that came to mind this morning, so I just texted them real quick. I just said, hey, I see this happening. And this is the response. I texted Ray this morning, Ray Hughes, who's going to be here in 2 weeks, and I just said, Ray, I see this happening for you. He said, you will not believe where I'm standing right now and what God's doing right now. He said, this is confirming exactly what's happening. Right? Okay, signs follow words. Right? So then I'm like, dang, that was pretty sweet. I wonder if it works on anybody else, right? So I'm like, okay, if it's the word of the Lord, if it's what God's saying, he doesn't just talk to one person, he talks to his people. Are you with me? So I messaged another friend. I messaged Randall Worley this morning. I said, hey, buddy, I see this. This is what I'm seeing. He said, he texted me back. He said, you cannot believe. He sends me this picture. He said, I'm not speaking this morning, but I'm sitting on my couch right now, and as the text came through, he takes a picture of the screen that's in front of him, and it's this picture of this garden gate, gates open, and the sun behind it, and this heavenly beam coming through it. He said, you got to be kidding me, right? I just want you to know what we're going to talk about this morning is actually, it's actually a confirmed word. This is actually a word for you today, you know, I don't want to overstate that, but I do want to tell you, like, the subject that we're going to talk about today, I don't think I can undervalue its importance, actually. And it's about this. It's about encountering God and also the state of your conscience. Encountering God, the realities of heaven and who he is, and the state of your conscience, if it's a good conscience and clean, or if it's a defiled conscience. And that these two things are actually married, that these are not separate things. And in fact, we have a role as human beings, as sons and daughters of God, to continually have a clean conscience before God and before man. That we don't get to just go, hey, Jesus paid for it all. And because Jesus paid for it all, I can live my life any way that I want and it won't affect anything. Wrong. It does affect. It may not affect your eternal situation. That's between you and God. Like, I'm not going to be your judge. He is. But let me tell you, the judge who sits on that throne is righteous. And it is a terrifying thing to come into the hands of the living God. The fear of the Lord should grip your life, and that should actually make you live in a clean way. Hello. Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? You know, I've shared some different encounters with that I've had just over my life, with just the Lord just impacting my life, and you know, over these last seasons of I can tell you that I was probably a person who was a little more cavalier in their approach towards grace, you know, not intentionally abusive of it, not at all, but I just had very much a perspective of, well, you know, if I'm going off course, Holy Spirit's going to convict me, right? I'm not going to worry about having a clean conscience because the Lord will convict me and he's the one. I'm just going to keep my focus on him and I'm going to allow him to do that work in me. Are you with me? Which is actually a healthy perspective as long as you keep your ear sensitive to what he's actually saying to you. Okay, but the problem is that if you have that perspective, which is a healthy perspective, and then you harden your heart, Houston, we have a problem. Right? Because pretty soon you begin to presume upon the mercy and the grace of God and live in your life any way you see fit without paying attention to your conscience. And let me tell you, your conscience is a gift from God to you. Your conscience is a gift from God to you. You know that little twinge that you get if you treat somebody in a rude way? If you ignore that long enough, you'll become a rude person. I saw a couple of nudges there. I'm going to take my glasses off so I stop seeing that kind of stuff. If you know, how many have had this happen? Remember, you turned 16, you got your license. Evidently, I'm going to be talking to you, Joel. This is great. You got your license, right? And then you took the car out, and it was with fear and trepidation because dad laid into you or mom laid into you and said, do not wreck my car. Right? You will drive safely. You have these rules around you, right? But the longer you drive, the little more, you know, you just become, it becomes normal, right? And so if you got used to driving, I don't know, 4 miles above the speed limit, and that's a normal thing, right? Eventually, 8 miles above the speed limit doesn't feel so bad, right? And then if you normalize at 8 miles above the speed limit, pretty soon you're going 12, 15 miles above the speed limit and your inner world is safe and okay with this. Are you, hello? Can I get a witness this morning? One, two, all right, it's a confirmed word. We're good. Okay, but when the cherry goes off behind you and you're being pulled over and the police officer knocks on the window, right? And says, license, registration, if you ask this question, but what was I doing, officer? A ticket you will soon find in your lap. Because an officer recognizes that this is a person with a seared conscience. That they did not recognize that they were breaking the law and putting people in danger because speed limits aren't just for keeping you, you know, contained and not being able to have fun. Speed limits are actually there because of things like hidden driveways and kids playing and all sorts of things around you that you ought to pay attention to. Are you anyone alive today? Okay, so when that ticket lands in your lap and you're looking at this and you begin to ponder backwards, I'll tell you the progression. See, you became okay with breaking the law just by going 4 miles over. Not recognizing that you were breaking the law. It's not setting in. Okay. And then when you went to 8 miles over, right? And you're like, hey, it's 9 miles, 10 miles over that you can get the reckless endangerment thing. I'm fine. I'm just 8 miles over. Right? And the progression and what happens is that you're at first, right, when you're going 4 miles over and you see a police officer sitting on the side of the road, right? You see him coming up. What happens inside of you? Oh, dang, right? You look. Automatically, gas, your pedal, you know, you let off. Automatically. Doesn't even matter if you're obeying the law. Boom, right? This is the sign of a conscience that is intact. If that happens. Okay, if you look down and you go, oh, I'm only going 4 miles an hour, they won't pull me over. Hello. Now, I am not your conscience. I don't care how you drive. Like, this isn't my deal. But the illustration kind of proves the point, though, of what happens inside of you as you approach certain aspects of life, things that the Holy Spirit would have brought conviction in one season when you were super sensitive to the Lord, right? You were sensitive to Him and you would not dare to injure this connection of intimacy. And over time, though, those little things that were seen maybe as little, you now those don't even feel like anything anymore. We're just blowing through yellow lights. We don't even caution anymore. See, this is the process. This is the how things progress as your heart becomes hardened. A little bit at a time. It doesn't start with, boom, you hate God. It starts with the little things. It doesn't start with, you are completely deaf to God's Spirit and you can't hear anymore. It's not like that. It starts with just a little bit of ringing in the ears. And it progresses, though, because pretty soon you won't feel it, and now you're blowing through stoplights, and you are pushing through the boundaries, and what used to be sin to you is no longer sin to you anymore, right? And then we begin to tune ourselves into the messages that we want to hear. Hello, I've been here, y'all. Live this. You begin to tune into messages that are oriented towards grace and forgiveness. We even find churches then that only preach forgiveness so that every week we can go and we feel okay about ourselves. And our lives begin to adjust, not towards holiness and being white hot towards God or lovers of God, but towards our comfort zones. Okay, I don't even have my glasses on. I see people squirming in their seats right now. So this must be the right message, I guess. Look, I'm not coming down with a hammer this morning. That's not the point. The point actually is this. There is actually an encounter of God that he's bringing to this land, like for real. I don't know. The only way I describe it is this. It feels like as a wave is building, that undercurrent. It's not greatly noticeable, but if you're standing on the shore and you're in the water, you can feel the wave pulling. You know, that undertow that pulls out to build in the momentum. That's what it feels like right now in the church world in this region. That's what it feels right now in the kingdom in this region. Like, God is building something. It's not this super powerful from the front. You're going to get the evangelist from Neverland to come in and boom, right? And everybody falls out in the spirit. And I don't think that's what we're waiting for. We've seen revival come like that in the past. I don't think that's what we're waiting for. If God wants to do that, I'll be happy for that. But it causes a big mess. It does. It causes a big mess. Chairs everywhere, people on the ground, you know. You already knock over your coffees already so much. I don't even know what's going to happen when the Spirit comes and people get knocked out, you know. Which, by the way, if you have a coffee cup sitting at your feet, would you please be courteous to make sure it gets thrown away at the end of the service? Thank you very much. A message that may or may not be brought to you by our sponsors. Okay. Listen, I love every aspect of when God comes and he moves and he touches people. I love every aspect of it. I want to be in the middle of it. I don't care what it looks like. I'm hungry for all of it. Things that would unnerve you and you'd be freaked out about, I'm happy to be right in the middle of the mosh pit of it. I'm running to the front of the line. You know, I'm going to elbow you out of the way to get someone to lay hands on me. That's just kind of how it is. We're hungry. I'm hungry. I have been a part of moves of God in the past, and I'm longing to see another one of great significance hit this land because I know what happens when God does that. Stuff changes, like for real. The landscape never returns the way it used to be. That's what's in my heart. But what I feel building is a wave, but it's like this undercurrent, and it's God preparing people. It's the pull, it's the tug. You need to get this right in your life. Don't let that relationship go sour. You need to do something about that. Hey, you need to get your business finances in check. It's a little out of whack, and you feel the undercurrent pulling. Right? You need to be seeking those relationships that have fallen apart over the years. You need to go back and find those things. There's this undercurrent. God is pulling. If you resist it, what happens? You are standing on the shore in dry ground. And let me tell you, when the wave comes, that's the worst place to be. Because that's where it crashes. You want to be out surfing the wave. You don't want to be on the shore getting tossed and broken to the ground. You want to allow the Holy Spirit, who is pulling at your heartstrings and tugging you and bringing the undercurrent in your life. Hey, your conscience needs to be clean, not before just before God, but before man as well. God has given you a gift. That gift of a sincere heart, a good conscience, this is not something to be ignored. In fact, let me read a couple of passages of Scripture. This is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. The Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith. They'll pay attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. By means of the hypocrisy of liars, they become seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron. Men who then end up forbidding marriages become advocate for abstaining from foods with which God has created to be gratefully shared by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it's received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. Let me say that again. Everything created by God is good. Nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. For it is sanctified by means of the word of God and prayer. I'm happy for all the extreme diets that we see today. I'm happy you're figuring out, you know, your allergies and all that kind of stuff. What I'm not happy about is the spirit of religion that is actually accompanying that stuff into the body of Christ. Don't forsake one religious spirit in the church world to embrace another religious spirit through abstaining from foods and perverting the idea that all things are good and they are sanctified. In other words, they are made clean because you receive it with gratitude and your blessing comes over it. It's not the point of today. I will no longer be a stumbling block to you. Okay. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't leave one form of religion to embrace another. Be healthy. Be strong. Don't be dumb. First Timothy 1, 18 and 19. This command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies that were made concerning you, that you fight the good fight. Look at this. Keeping faith and a good conscience. Keep your faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and end up shipwrecking in regards to their faith. Keep your faith, keep your belief system, you understand the prophecies, you are going after what God has been saying you should go after, all that, you keep that alive in your life. Fight the good fight with those prophecies. Believe what God has said. Believe the promises. And at the same time that you're believing the promises and you're understanding what Jesus has provided for you and you're fighting the good fight of faith and all that, make sure your conscience stays clear and good. Because if you reject these things, your faith will end up shipwrecked. Your belief system, and you're going for God, but you're ignoring the Danger Will Robinson signs over here. What ends up happening? The same thing you see so many televangelists hit. The same thing you see so many famous people hit. They ignore the danger signs going on in their life, and they end up shipwrecking everything they were believing God for because they weren't paying attention to the lighthouse on the beach going, "You are coming too close to this shore." You're making choices that are searing your conscience. Is anyone alive today? There's a couple more aspects of this. I'll just read through these ones. I don't want to hit these too hard for danger of breaking you today. But I want to read to you, this is 1 Corinthians 8, verses 8 and 9, and 11 and 13. This is Apostle Paul, and he's talking about how the food that they're eating has been clean, you know, even at food sacrificed to idols. Now, I want you to hear this, because food sacrificed to idols is they made an offering of an animal to a demon in the presence of a demonic like idol. Okay, this would be like you going to the witch doctor's house for barbecue after he makes the sacrifice. This is you going to, you know, right into the darkest parts of our world, you know, Africa or Haiti or whatever, right? And they have, and you have demonically present, influenced people making a sacrifice to a demonic god. Demons present, right? And then them offering you the food that was offered to that demonic entity. Okay, I don't know about you, but if I'm sitting around that campfire, I may be tempted to just be like, "Yep, I'm good." You know, ate before I came. I'm full. Anybody else with me here? I mean, come on, be honest here. Okay, if you struggle with McDonald's, let me tell you, you're going to struggle with this one. Paul is addressing the group of people, and he's saying to them, that stuff ain't clean. Just receive it with thanksgiving. Bless it. It's good. It's food. First Corinthians 8, verses 8 and 9. Food will not condemn us to God. We are neither the worse if we do not eat, nor the better if we do eat. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. Now go to verse 11 through 13. For through your knowledge, he who is weak is ruined. The brother for whose sake Christ died, and so by sinning against the brethren and wounding their conscience because it's weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food causes my brother to stumble, I won't eat meat again, so that I will not cause my brother to stumble. Okay? Different issue altogether. We're not just talking about your own conscience. We're now talking about paying attention to the people around you. Don't let your liberty run over somebody else's weakness. Even though you receive it with thanksgiving, you don't need to, you know, feel free. It's okay. You know, you partake, whatever that means to you, but you know, with thanksgiving. Like, it's sanctified. But you don't take your liberty then and end up injuring somebody else. Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 27. This is the one that I'm going to read. I'm going to leave you with it. Anytime I need the fear of the Lord in me, I just feel free to read this chapter. Hebrews 10, 19 through 27. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. Since we have this great priest who's over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. In other words, you need to take care of your conscience if you're going to come before the Lord. And our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Next verse. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume God's adversaries. Let me paint it this way. If you become cavalier in your faith towards the grace of God and ignore the aspects of your conscience, if you now are willfully... See, it goes beyond. It's not just I screwed up. It goes beyond that. Now if I'm willfully pushing into this side of living, I am just like, who cares? I can do whatever I want. I'm going to keep on sinning. It doesn't matter. Jesus' blood covers everything. Okay, this is the picture of someone trampling underfoot the blood of Jesus. I'm not here to tell you you're going to hell, but I am here to point out the scriptures which says, hey, it's a fearful and terrible thing to fall into the hands of a living God who is holding accountable the most precious commodity in all the universe, which is the blood of Christ. And it is not something to be taken lightly. There is mercy. There is mercy for every situation. His mercy is unending. His mercy is unending. His mercy, however, is unending for the one who is honest, who lives authentically towards God. Meaning this, if you find yourself in this situation today, you've just been living like hell. Woohoo! Party on. If you've been doing this with your life, there is mercy for you today if you get honest with this. Dang, I have screwed up. Lord, I don't know where I went off track, but I see this is where my heart's at. I want to live in truth towards you. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Confession is the pathway. It's about owning up to things. It's like, oh man, I didn't know adultery was wrong. I didn't know. Well, now you know. Confess it. Repent of it. Stop it. Oh, I didn't know lying was wrong. Well, now you do. Confess it. Repent of it. And if I had the video primed up, there's this video that some of you already know what I'm talking about. I don't even know them. Stop it or I'll bury you in a box. This is a Saturday Night Live skit. Anyway, whoa, we are digressing. Okay. Listen. I can't emphasize. I don't think I can overemphasize. Like, God loves you. Like, he really loves you. And he knows exactly where you're at. You can't hide from him. You can't hide from him. He's not impressed with anything. He's God. Like he's not put off by the dark areas of your life. He's not intimidated by it. He's not, and it's not that he doesn't care about it. He does. He cares about it because he cares about you. He sees. It's like cancer. That stuff needs to get out of your life. It'll kill you. He loves you so much. He knows exactly where you're at. You can't hide any of this stuff from him. You might as well just be honest with him about it. Ask him for help. He'll help you out. To have a clean conscience before God and to have a clean conscience before man. These dynamics, you know, your relationship with heaven, your connection with God, this is, you know, of ultimate importance. But what I think sometimes we miss it. We get our consciences clean towards God, but we haven't made things right with people. And so we don't recognize that the heavenly door is open, and so we're receiving, but the earthly one, towards the influence of people, is being hindered. The heavenly door has been rent. And if you stay honest with God, and you'll have your conscience clean, you can go into heavenly places, you can be connected with God, it's all going awesome that way. But your influence on earth, which is your assignment, which is what you are going to be judged for eventually, what did you do with what I gave to you? He's going to ask you. Did you have the door wedged shut by your hardened heart towards people? Did you have the door wedged shut by your behavior towards people? Did you intentionally, like, if you're a parent and you've screwed up, man, go apologize. This is like parenting 101 for us. We teach this in our parenting, you know, whenever we do seminars here, and I think we have one recorded back there. But one of the things that I bring to the table when we talk about this is like, hey, when you screw up in front of your kids, they see you screwed up. You yelled at somebody, you flew off the handle, you had a bad attitude, you cussed. You know, you, whatever, you made a bad decision, they see it. I'm the first one to get down on my knees, look them in the eye and say, Daddy messed up, I'm sorry, please forgive me. I see the pain in their eyes because I screamed at them or whatever, even if they've done something wrong. If I react and it crushes them, you know this is not okay. You can be justified in your, like, because they did something wrong, I must crush you. You can be justified. You can feel isolated from that, but when you look in their little eyes and they're crying, you may want to get down on your knees and own up to the fact, did I just hurt your feelings? Please forgive me. I'm not meaning to hurt your spirit. I'm not meaning to injure you. But this is not okay behavior. Are you with me here? This is what your Heavenly Father does. Every time you come into worship, if you got a defiled conscience, this is what he does. He's like, I love you. I want to be near you. Now, I'm going to come down. I'm going to interact with you, and let's talk about some stuff. Let's connect. Let's have a come to Jesus moment. You know, come to Jesus' moment. We have come to Jesus moment all the time with our staff. Okay, you did great. That was awesome. Now let's talk about something. I hope you're hearing my heart this morning. It's not about perfecting your life. Oh my goodness. Please don't pursue that. Jesus did that for you. Don't get tied up in, I have to become perfect. He's perfect. What you need to be is authentic. You need to be sincere. Like, real. Real with God, real with people. Sometimes that looks raw. Sometimes that's, you know, sometimes that's not a clean process. Right? You know, when you're in worship and you're snotting all over yourself because God's dealing with your heart or whatever, this isn't a bad thing, but it's not clean. But it is holy. It is holy. We said all that to get to this passage of Scripture. This is Psalms 24. Won't take long, don't worry. It's a beautiful day out there. You should enjoy it. So Psalms chapter 24. The earth is the Lord's and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. He's founded it upon the seas. He has established it on the rivers. Now, God is in charge. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Think of something that you feel is out of control in your life right now and just remind yourself, oh, God's got this. Try to think of some area geographically on earth that you just think is dark and under control of the devil, and then just remind yourself, no, God's got this. Anytime you watch CNN, you should also have this Bible verse in hand. For he is the one who founded it. Verse 3, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy place? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul in falsehood, who has not sworn deceitfully. You know what that says to me? That says, the one who is real. The one who is worshiping in spirit and truth. No masks. You know, if you read the Psalms, King David is raw and real. Man, in one moment, this guy, I don't know if he was a manic depressive or what was going on with David. But in one moment, he's like, woe is me, where are you, God, right? And then I entered into the house of the Lord, and I gave thanks, and now I'm conquering my enemies, and they will die at my sword. Like, how did you get from there to here in three verses? He's raw and real. Like him, don't like him. Character flaws, yeah, some character flaws. Issues. You know, but because he was real, because he kept this open. He just, you know, there's certain psalms that say, like, Like he was, I'm withering away, God. My enemies are surrounding me. I am dying. But then I recognized my sin and I confessed it, and then you restored me. He who has clean hands, a pure heart, doesn't lift up his soul in falsehood. You don't approach with some false pretense. He will receive a blessing from the Lord, righteousness from his God. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Look at verse 7 now. I want you to see the connection. Lift up your head, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord who is strong and mighty, the Lord who is mighty in battle. Lift up your head, O gates. Lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? He is the Lord of angels, or hosts. He is the King of glory. Anyone here want the Lord fighting their battles for them? You're facing some stuff. You know, you can face it. Go for it. But let me tell you, it's a lot. It's just so much better when God's facing it for you. So much better just to rest and allow him to face it. You ever been in a situation where you just need intervention? You could use some angelic help there. You know, you need some strength, all that. Well, angels being attentive to your prayers, angels being connected to what's going on here and bringing intervention, angels working on your behalf, all that stuff, that's all very real stuff, by the way. You know, that stuff is connected to the gate being open and the ancient door being open. The Lord fighting your battles. You're stuck. You're in a place where you need God to bring breakthrough. It's like you don't have a way. You want God fighting your battles. This is all connected to that door being open and the gate being open. Look at this. Be lifted up. Excuse me. Lift up your head, O gates. Lift up. Be opened, O ancient doors. The Lord woke me up at 4:44 this morning. For me, whenever I wake up at 4:44, I look at the clock and I see that. I go, oh, God, what are you saying? Like, just because that's when he wakes me up. When he's got something to say and I haven't been listening some other place, this is when I get woken up. So I wake up this morning and I see this picture, the one I described for you at the beginning. I see a man standing on earth and the door of his heart, the gate of his heart is being opened. And I see this ancient door that has been opened. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you open the door, I will come and have fellowship. We'll have communion. We'll break bread. We will connect. My life will be flowing into yours if you open the door of your life. Heaven is wanting to invade your circumstances. Who can ascend the hill? Who gets to be the living intercessor? Who stands, who sees and understands the connection of what God wants to do in heaven, but then gets to see it change on earth? The picture of a gate, this is a place of decision. In an ancient city, the gate is where all business dealings happen. This is where the king would come down from his throne to make decisions on behalf of the people. That wouldn't happen in the throne room. That happened at the gate. They didn't want any riffraff coming in the city walls, and so they would all go down to the gate to make the decisions, and they would only let in what they wanted to let in. Are you with me here? Listen. Lift up your head, O gate. You need to make decisions that intentionally open your life and keep that open so that God, in his ancient door that has already been opened by the blood of Jesus, so that what is there can flow into your life. Because the King of glory is standing by. The one who fights your battles. The one who has an angel army who is there to back you up and to bring transformation in our society. Bring transformation into your family. Bring transformation into your businesses. All that stuff. But it is linked. It is connected with your heart and heaven. Your conscience. Folks, your conscience is a part of having that door open. You living authentically, raw and real before God and cleaning up your messes on here on earth with people. If you go into your workplace, I'll end with this. If you go into your workplace and you have been a jerk, you have injured people, you have, you know, maybe you've embezzled, maybe you've, I don't know. Like if this is the situation in your workplace, and in your quiet time, you're like, oh God. And the heavenlies are open to you. Absolutely, they're open to you. But this isn't a confirmation of fruitfulness in your life. This is Jesus' blood doing that. If this is the reality, it's open, but then you go and you try to usher heaven into earth and all the doors are shut. Who shut the doors? Your behavior. Your choices. Your burned bridges. Our sin. Doesn't have to be that way, though. You just got to go make it right. Go make it right. You can do this. Heaven's going to invade Earth. You can do this.